Professor Michael Ezra teaches at Sonoma State University. He is a professor of American Multicultural Studies and has certainly been keeping his eye on what's been happening across our country and our community over the last 48 hours. Professor Ezra, good to have you with us.
Hi. Good morning.
Your thoughts as you watched what transpired primarily over the weekend?
Well, unlike a lot of people, I don't get surprised when I see this, and I don't see these protests as anything new or unique. I don't see them as any sort of end point. I think we'll be revisiting this in another 6 months or a year when the next case comes up. I don't know how long this particular round of protests will be sustained, but you can be sure that this problem is not going away anytime soon, or really ever.
And when we're in the thick of this, Professor, the thick of something like this, because you're right, this certainly has happened before and has been protested about before, we start to feel pessimistic in terms of whether real change is possible.
Yeah, not only pessimistic about the future being, not only not optimistic about the future being better, but perhaps feeling almost certain that things might get worse. I mean, there's a lot of comparisons being made among, like, commentators and academics comparing this year to 1968.
Yeah.
In 1968, the rallying cry among African-American activists was black power. You know, we want to acquire power to become equal. Now, the rallying cry is black lives matter. Murder us.
What are your thoughts about how that message is changed in terms of the protests? What does it mean?
Well, going from a sense that the future was unlimited and that African Americans, through the acquisition of economic and political fair share of the United States, would become equal and all other problems surrounding those lack of economic and political power would go away. Now the rallying cry is simply, you know, please don't kill us. We're beleaguered.
Yeah, that is quite a change and not for the better. What will work? I mean, the people who are engaged in these activities, in these protests, the vast majority of them are in it because of the message and are in it to try to find a way to, in most cases, peacefully display their outrage. What else can they do?
Well, I think what it would take to change America right now is it's not in our history and simply too overwhelming for people to consider. I just don't see peaceful revolution happening in the United States, and the United States wasn't formed on a peaceful revolution either. It really requires the overwhelming majority of white people who are stakeholders in the system to try to change it, but by doing that, they would upset their own position that many have worked so hard their whole lives for. So really, in a capitalist system where you have a kind of pyramid structure and there's people on the top and people on the bottom, the people on the top just do not have an incentive to pass it down. In fact, they have all the incentive to continue to take it in their direction. So, I mean, really, I'm beginning to believe that racism is a capitalism problem, and that's just a whole other conversation in the United States that our political system is not ready for. I mean, the Democratic Party chose Biden over Sanders, perhaps even against the will of the people. So there you have it. Our political system is a capitalist one. That's how I believe it's going to be for a long, 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 long time. It will never change peacefully. And so we are just going to have to sit here and endure these protests as we have been doing for, 200-something years?
Yeah, 200-something years is for sure. There has been a lot of comparison to 1968. Certainly, I've seen more quotes from Martin Luther King Jr. over the past 48 hours on social media than I have in the past couple of years. And are we looking back in rose-colored glasses at what Dr. King was able to attain and create?
Well, 68, the year he was murdered, could be considered something of a high point for black power. And that is why you have the kind of violent backlash against black power during that year, and you have Nixon's reelection. So, rose-colored glasses, if you look only at 1968, if you look what unfolded before and after, then there's really nothing rose-colored to look at. There has really never been a high point for black power in which African Americans have had their equal and fair share of the political and economic system in the United States. It's not part of our history. They were brought here to be slaves, and the Constitution did not apply to them. It said all men are created equal while African Americans are slaves. And to think that that piece of America has ever been removed is wrong.
Well, Professor, I was hoping for a little more of an uplifting statement from you or anyone, frankly, this morning. But I certainly understand where you're coming from. Still, this, this need for a seed for us, some sort of seed of progress or understanding. It's what we all long for. But sounds like there's much more work to be done before we get there. Appreciate your perspective, Professor. Thanks for being here.
Thanks. I could say one thing, optimistic, that the seed of hope and change really comes from African Americans. And it comes eventually from whites actually following the lead of black people. And until that happens, I don't think that you'll ever get the kind of change that satisfies black America and meets the criteria for justice.
All right, I'm going to take that seed, Professor Michael Ezra of American Multicultural Studies at Sonoma State University. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Pat.